the service manager needs to understand the strategy and carry that forward to the rest of the team, actually interpret that strategy and say, this is ultimately what we're trying to achieve. This is what it actually means to us.
Frankly IT, straight talk for IT leaders everywhere.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to Frankly IT, episode 70. Leading the IT service team is a tough assignment. Doesn't matter if you're in an MSP or in-house. As the team responsible for making sure all the users you support are able to access the technology they need to do their work every day, you're often on the short end of some very frustrated folks and some big expectations from management. To compound the stress, you may have been promoted to the role of service manager because of your technical chops and the great work you did closing tickets. Suddenly, you find yourself in a whole new world of planning, budgeting, and people management you don't have a lot of experience with. It's a very common situation. Today, I'm talking to Todd Kane of Evolved Management Consulting about why it's so hard to be a great service manager, but also some of the tips and tricks he's learned on how to overcome those stumbling blocks to really succeed in the role. Todd has worked in MSPs. He's also led technical groups for some big businesses like Bell Canada and WestJet. He's got a lot of experience leading service teams, and he shares that advice with us today.
You're listening to Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Hi, Todd. Welcome to Frankly IT.
Hey, Jennifer. Great to be here.
Today, we're going to be talking about service managers. But before we get into it, I wanted to just clarify what we mean when we're talking about service managers, because this could be at an MSP or at an in-house corporate team, right? So what's your definition of who we're talking about here?
Yeah, I think the service manager would be the equivalent of the IT manager or an IT director internally. It would be the person responsible for the IT service delivery and support for the organization.
Whether you're in an MSP or internal, it's a very similar role. You're responsible for managing the team that supports users, whether that's users at one company, your own company, or multiple companies if you're an MSP.
Yeah, definitely. Either role can be pretty challenging, and both are responsible for the support of the users as well as the technology.
So you say being a service manager or IT manager is hard. Why is it so hard?
I kind of describe a bit like insurance. It's not like people ring you up to call the help desk and say, you guys are, you know, I haven't called you in a month and things are awesome. I just really appreciate you. So if you're providing support to someone, it's often a high stress situation to begin with. And if you look at some of the industry research, the second most important thing from CIOs is support delivery. The first obviously being network delivery, because if you can't transport data around an organization and over the internet, then the users are probably going to be pretty ineffective. But after that, the quality of support delivery is the second most critical function for any IT organization, either MSP or in-house IT.
And so if you're on that team as a technician, obviously it can be challenging dealing with frustrated users, dealing with people, as you say, who don't just call you up to say, hey, you're doing a great job today. But what about the manager in particular, the leader of that team? What are the extra challenges that come with that?
There's a couple of things. One, they have to play a bit of a role of an orchestrator. They have to maximize the effectiveness of the rest of the team that's delivering the support. And what often happens in these roles is that people that end up as a service manager or an IT manager usually start as a technical role. So they maybe become a strong tier two or a tier three technician, and someone taps them either formally, but often informally, and makes them the service manager. A lot of people that actually hold this role have really no depth or no training around what this role actually entails. And that becomes really difficult, because if you don't have the confidence and the training to rely on around what is important, what should you be focusing on, a lot of people will often collapse back to what they feel some level of comfort or familiarity with. So instead of spending time supporting the team, they end up doing a lot of the technical work themselves. And that is not what the rest of the team actually needs from them.
So what should a service manager or an IT manager be focusing on then?
So definitely on developing a team that has a singular focus that everyone kind of pulls in the same direction. I often think of this as, for us Canadians, it would be a canoe, but if it's just a boat, we can say everyone rowing a boat in a particular direction. And if everyone is pulling at the same time and rowing their oars at the same time, you can create tremendous speed. But without any level of coordination between the individuals, it's just frantic energy being splashed around. So the service manager or the IT manager needs to be the person that acts again as that orchestrator to pull the rest of the group together to understand what are the actual priorities. The individuals themselves, I assume, have some level of priority. They understand, what do I need to get done today? And if they don't, then that's certainly an area for the service manager to support them. But that service manager needs to understand the full scope of what is required from the team, what are the capabilities that are potentially missing, and understand how to develop a plan that matches with the overall strategy.
If you're a new manager in the role, and as you've mentioned, you've been promoted from a technician role, really don't have a grounding in management or maybe some of the strategic planning, where do you even start in trying to get people rowing in the same direction?
Hopefully organizations have some level of strategic planning. It's really interesting when I do talks and webinars about this, I often poll groups on, does your organization have a strategic plan? And then I sort of throw in a bit of a bait question on, do you actually have some level of measurement and strategy to implement that plan? And what you tend to find is there's organizations that either don't have a plan and it's just like, hey, we're going to be great. We're a good team. Let's get things done. And that's the extent of the plan. Some organizations will have some level of a plan, but they've not done a great job of communicating what that strategy is. And then some organizations will actually write down a plan and they may or may not communicate it to the rest of the organization. The service manager needs to understand the strategy and carry that forward to the rest of the team, actually interpret that strategy and say, this is ultimately what we're trying to achieve. This is what it actually means to us. So instead of just waterfalling that message down to the team on what the goals are, they need to help the team to understand, if this is where we're going to go, this is how we're actually going to get there. The execution needs to look at metrics around how do we actually track progress towards those goals so that you end up with both lead and lag indicators. The lag indicators will tell you if you've met your quarterly or annual goals, but the execution plan needs to look at lead indicators on how many contracts were sent out as proposals for net new revenue, or how many tickets were closed on an hourly basis in order to hit the daily goals and the weekly goals. Those are much different things, and they're much, much more tactical. And really focusing on that execution strategy, I think, is where a new service manager needs to focus. And ultimately, the place where that's most effective is the individuals themselves, right? The true power of a team is going to be the individuals rising up together and acting as a functioning team that is supportive of each other and are collectively trying to achieve something together rather than as individual contributors flailing and throwing their energy into the mix.
How do you recommend that the specific measurable objectives, you know, the key performance indicators and stats that people are going to be tracking, how are those defined?
I often suggest that if you're in the service management role and you're not being consulted or brought into the annual or quarterly executive planning sessions, then advocate for that so you can contribute towards the planning and understand more deeply what the goals of the organization are. So that's really key around that contribution towards the strategic vision and how that matches with the execution planning. And then you carry that down to hopefully divisional goals. The goals of the company will be drastically different than, say, the marketing part of the group and the sales part of the group, and then the technical delivery of the team as well. So each of those groups potentially has their own strategic plan. And then the individuals within that team have to understand how their daily contributions actually contribute towards those goals. I've originally trained in Gazelles, which is the Vern Harnish organization, which was sort of the predecessor or the seeds for EOS. For traction. So a lot of people will be familiar with that type of planning. And if you're not, absolutely read up on Traction Systems or Gazelles. They're excellent planning tools for organizations. You can actually take it one step further and develop scorecards for individuals, where the scorecards actually are developed in a way to seed the lead indicators for the individuals. And you can help them to understand, these are the corporate goals, these are the divisional goals, these are your individual goals. And you can help them understand how they actually track forward in order for you to do this. The team does all of these things, and that's how the divisional goals meet the strategic vision of the organization. So everyone understands how they fit within the goals and the challenges that are going to be met by the team collectively for the company's goals.
You're listening to Frankly IT, brought to you by Avic Networks.
You mentioned that one of the traps that new managers fall into is falling back into that technical work because that's what they know and they're comfortable with. Are there other big traps or pitfalls that new managers tend to fall into?
Yeah, I think they often end up with a bit of tunnel vision, especially technical managers. They may end up doing the work, but they also may end up focusing on the wrong things for far too long. And again, sort of losing track of the team. So if there's an escalation or an on-site requirement, then they end up spending far too much time on a specific thing and not necessarily delegating those responsibilities. So there's a great sort of system that I coach around this. Understanding the difference between responsibility and accountability is really key. You can be accountable for something and have absolutely nothing to do with the actual action around that activity or that problem. But ultimately, whether or not that problem gets resolved or fixed or moves forward in some capacity, that's still your accountability. So I think that understanding of how you can properly delegate to a team so that you feel comfortable both in the fact that you're confident that the team is on top of it and you don't have to sit on top of the team to make sure that those things are being actioned, but also your level of accountability to both owning their delivery of that, but also being able to step away and not having to be directly involved in all of the activities of the business. A good example of this is a lot of new service managers will often try to approve every single ticket before closure. And this is fine if you get like 10 tickets a day. But at scale, if you're getting 150 tickets a day, there's no way that a single person is going to be reading through those tickets. So you need to create better systems and a level of trust with the individual contributors that what you're looking for can be done in a QA process of maybe 20% of those tickets. And even further from that is maybe delegated to someone else within the team and they report to you on what they find on the level of QA. So you need to be thoughtful about what you're spending 80% of your time in and whether or not that actually contributes to both the corporate goals, but also the needs of the individuals within the team.
Do you feel there's ever situations where people feel like they want to do the technical work because they want to show their team that they know this stuff and they can do it, right? They don't want to be the manager who just manages, in quotes. They want to show their team that they have the chops to do it too and that they're willing to chip in.
Yeah, definitely. That's an important piece as well. When I was an operations manager for an MSP, I would sometimes, if the board was getting really full and things were busy, I would pitch in and start doing some tickets just to help the group out. It is a good way to demonstrate that you're willing to do all the things necessary in order to help the team win. Just again, making sure you're strategic about why you're doing that and when you're doing it, if it's appropriate. To that, there's sort of three roles or three forms of leadership that I think are really important to understand here. And what we're describing here is an expertise power. If you can demonstrate to people that they should trust you because you have the experience to give them good direction, and then from a technical capacity, and you have good input on what the team is trying to achieve, that's excellent. But you have to be cautious because you can't be a genius every day, and you certainly don't know everything, especially if you start to become more of a managerial role and drift a bit away from the technical team. You have to be comfortable with the fact that ultimately they're going to know more than you, and being comfortable with that is really critical. The more important parts to focus on from leadership powers is relationship power. So if you can build a strong, trusting, and loyal relationship between a individual contributor and a manager or a leader, then that pays massive, massive dividends. But people often don't focus on that as an area to spend time on. And that's just really spending time with people, understanding who they are as individuals, what they want from their career, what their objectives are, and how you can help them progress their career. So the three role powers that we described described here are that relationship power, that expertise power, and then the final one is role power. And junior managers or sort of more old school managers will often default to the role power as well, where basically you're telling people, I'm your boss, you do what I say or I'll fire you, right? So sometimes the role power is necessary if you really need to get someone to buy into a policy that is an expectation of the company and someone just won't get behind it. So, but it should be used probably 5% of the time. Expertise power can be leveraged maybe 15 to 20% of the time. And then the rest of that, kind of 75 to 80% of your influence or relationship with your staff should be based on that relationship power instead.
I imagine that can be a challenge to some technical personalities who've been promoted to manager, right? Because they're very much used to being in the technicalities and focusing on the work versus focusing on the people. What advice do you have for people who maybe this is a new area, they're not totally comfortable, they're not quite sure how to go about doing it? What sort of resources or advice would you provide for that?
Selfishly, the one I certainly would recommend is I have a course for service managers that directly speaks to a lot of what we're talking about here. So without question, check out the service management course that I have. But maybe to step back one piece as well is a bit of a cautionary tale for how you actually progress through an organization and whether or not you actually want to be on the operation side versus technical. And organizations put people a bit into a trap in this, and that in order for them to progress their career and feel like they take on more responsibility, and certainly in order to get more pay, there's often a thought, rightly or wrongly, that if I'm going to step up in this company, I need to manage people. And that's not always the case, right? People need to be really cautious about why they're taking on a promotion. Do you actually want to do this? Do you want to be on the technical side of the house, or does the operation side of the business really interest you? So if all you want to do is just play with VMs and build out cloud infrastructure and just really nerd out on the hardcore technical stuff, that's fine. I would say stick on that side of the house because you absolutely can progress your career towards some level of technical architect or CTO. So it's not a requirement in order to grow your career to manage people. Now, that said, I was honestly one of those people early on in my career where I said, management, it's just politics. I'm not interested. But once I actually managed a team and saw the influence that I had in directing someone's career and setting them up for success, it was highly addictive to understand, how can I get more for this person? How can I really influence them to give them what they need in order for them to progress forward? It can be incredibly rewarding.
Now we're getting into questions of engagement, and definitely engagement from team members is a factor in driving high performance. We've talked about some of the ways that you can support them in terms of goals, but what are some other ways that you can foster engagement from your team?
Probably one of the biggest ones is developing a performance culture. A lot of people don't want to feel like a micromanager. And honestly, that term gets overutilized. Most people are undermanaged is much more of a threat to some level of engagement. But if you look at statistics around this, engagement is almost a direct one-to-one correlation with performance. You will not get the most from your team if you can't unlock the delegation capabilities and really understanding how to drive people's maximum engagement. This comes a bit back to that role and relationship power, because if you use role power and get people to do what is necessary by cracking whips and just yelling at people, and they'll do the bare minimum to just get by, you can assume that they're going to be contributing maybe 50 to 60% of their capability. Whereas if you can really unlock someone's desire to contribute towards a team where they feel a level of psychological safety is really key for organizations, and Google has done a ton of work around this to demonstrate that time and time again, psychological safety is the key requirement for any successful team. So how do you actually develop that engagement is through creating a team that feels safe, that they don't feel a threat from each other, and that they have each other's backs, and that they can rally together against an objective. This goes back to exactly what we've talked about, is a definition of a goal, helping the team and the individuals of that team to understand how their contributions contribute toward those goals, and some level of recognition of success. In our industry, in any knowledge-based industry, it's actually really difficult to understand what we're doing and what the outputs are, because it's not like you're building a house and at the end of it, you can turn around and say, I put up the walls here, or I did the wiring on that house, and that house is done. That's an end product. I can feel proud of my contribution. In IT support, there's no end to this. It's a treadmill of support. And being able to rally around what the team is achieving together, that is something that you need to focus on a day-to-day and a week-to-week basis in order for the team to feel that level of success and momentum. That is the role of the service manager or the IT manager, to understand what does success look like and to help the team to understand when they are performing and not, and what that contributes towards the team goals. And if you can get everyone pulling in the same direction, it becomes this incredibly powerful, motivating force that becomes self-perpetuating. But if people don't feel they have the support of their team members, or there are certain team members that just frankly don't contribute, then that can be a real boat anchor. Success is a team game, and your weakest link within that team is going to be an anchor towards the total success of the team collectively.
So this may be an odd question, but what if you feel that you, as the IT manager, are struggling so much that you are the boat anchor?
That's a really good question. That can be difficult. There's probably two parts to this. Is one, I think imposter syndrome plays a really strong role in whether or not someone feels comfortable with their role. Going back originally to, do you feel equipped with what you're actually supposed to be contributing? If you're just maybe burnt out or disengaged, then that's maybe different. But if you feel like you actually want something and you're looking for some level of success, but you're unable to get there, I think you certainly want to look towards any of the leadership of the organization and be really transparent with them on saying, like, I want to do more. I'm really dedicated to the organization, but I'm just simply struggling around what I can actually contribute and how I can make a difference here. Just the reality of understanding that everyone struggles with that imposter syndrome, that maybe I'm not good enough for this, or I'm out of my depth and this isn't for me. And most people experience that. And usually it's an indication that you're a high achiever and you have high demands for yourself and you're kind of your own worst critic. So it can be a good thing, but it's incredibly damaging if not dealt with properly. So some external perspective on, you know, am I doing the things that are necessary? Do I feel like I'm contributing? Those can be really important. So if you can't find that within your own, or you actually care about whether or not the place is successful and whether or not your team is successful, and if you don't feel that level of motivation, then maybe it is important to really reflect on, is this the job that I want? Is it a function of the work that I do? Is it a function of the company that I work for? Is it a function of the people that I work for? I think a real honest exploration of, where is the gap? What are you missing within your collective job experience that is unsatisfactory? If it's just in your head, that's fixable. If it's the situation and the surroundings, then you probably have more ability to alter that than you may think. And if that is just not going to work out, then either you need to look for a different role within the organization, or potentially look for a different role in a different organization if it's perhaps a cultural thing within the company that you work for, maybe.
This has been a really interesting conversation. Thanks for joining us today, Todd.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's been great.
That was Todd Kane of Evolved Management Consulting. In today's show notes, I'll put links to Todd's contact info, that service manager course he mentioned, a blog post about Google's research into high-performing teams, and some of the other resources Todd mentioned. You'll find those show notes at ovic.com/franklyit/070 for episode 70. That URL again is ovic.com/franklyit/070. While you're there on the show notes, leave a comment. Let me know your thoughts on this episode or on the Frankly IT podcast in general. We've got some amazing new podcast stickers we want to share, and we might even send you an awesome networking t-shirt for taking the time to comment. I would love to hear from you. And that's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly IT, brought to you by Ovic Networks. Own the network.